Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. On the 21st of September, President Putin announced the first mobilization in Russia since World War II. And initially he stated that 300,000 reservists would need to be called up to bolster the efforts in Ukraine. However, it soon transpired that the actual number that had been approved was around 1 million people, and that rather than being restricted to just reservists, anybody was potentially in line for call-up. And this has caused mass panic in Russia, and a lot of people are either now trying to leave the country or are disappearing. So in this episode, I'll give you an update on the estimated number of people who have left Russia since this announcement was made, and what the impact of that will be on the Russian economy. Because every person who's being called up for this mobilization is being taken out of their job, out of their place of employment. And that's going to cause damage to those companies, to productivity, and Russia's economy. So I'll talk you through the problem and exactly what the impact is likely to be. And I'll also share with you a video which has been shot by some of the people who've actually been mobilized at short notice in Russia. And the spokesman for these individuals is asking whether or not they're going to be paid and whether or not there'll be any sort of support scheme to be able to pay their mortgages. So quite clearly, Russia have not provided any sort of financial information to the people who are being mobilized. They're literally getting a letter saying, turn up to this center and you're off to fight in Ukraine. No details have been provided. And it's clear from the tone of this video that all of the people who've been mobilized are very concerned, firstly, about whether or not they're going to receive any financial remuneration. And then secondly, whether or not they'll ever come back from this mobilization. We'll then have a look at a comparison of how many people have been displaced from Ukraine since the war started. And this is obviously looking at people who are looking to flee the war in Ukraine and move to other countries. So we'll have a look at how many people have actually left Ukraine so far and what the financial implication of that is for both Ukraine, because they've obviously lost all of those employees. So they'll have the same problem that Russia's having, that you're losing productivity. But we'll also look at what the cost of housing and looking after all of these refugees is for Europe. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of all of the issues we're discussing in today's video are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that push for 200,000, so if you could help, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch the entire thing from front to back, you can pick and choose what you'd like to watch. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, thanks so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. President Putin's mobilization announcement on the 21st of September is still causing major problems all across Russia. And it's been reported that as many as 700,000 men have now crossed the border out of Russia into other countries in order to escape this conscription. And lawyers and civil rights groups within Russia have advised that they've been overwhelmed by people contacting them in an attempt to try to avoid mobilization. We are working around the clock, said Sergei Kravenko, who runs a group of 10 lawyers called Citizen Army Law. People are being torn from their normal lives. This is a mobilization without time limit during a war. It could last months or years. People may not return. Leaving the army is pretty much impossible. The only way is death, injury, or prison for disobeying orders. Human rights lawyer Pavel Chikov has been delivering advisory webinars online, and his followers on Telegram have more than tripled to 466,000 in the last 2 weeks. He said, those coming to us are panicked. They don't understand what is happening. They're calling up anyone, and the law allows them to recruit anyone. Dmitry Lysenko, who runs a group called Release, offering legal advice and information, said, the best way to avoid conscription is to leave Russia now. Avoiding a signing summons, avoid military offices. The legal punishment for not going is a small fine, and I don't know of anyone who's been fined yet. So the mobilization is still causing a lot of anxiety and concern and chaos within Russia. And it's now being widely reported that people who are not leaving the country are leaving their homes, they're leaving their employment and going into hiding in other places in Russia. And all of this is entirely disastrous from an economic perspective, because Russia is on the back foot right now. The financial sanctions that have been applied are really going to hurt. Russia is losing lots of revenue on lots of different fronts. So it needs the companies that are still in place and operational to be delivering as much productivity as possible and to be maximizing their efforts. The fact that a lot of employees are now disappearing, either to leave the country or to just run away and hide, is really disastrous for those remaining companies. So this is double whammy for Russia. They've got the external factors that are being applied against them by all of the West, and now they've got these internal factors that are self-inflicted. The news of this mobilization has caused panic and dented morale in the whole of Russia. Nobody wants to sit around at their desk waiting for a conscription officer to turn up and hand you conscription papers and tell you that it's your time to go to Ukraine. Rather than sitting there doing that, people are disappearing. And that means that their work isn't being done, no productivity is happening, and therefore these companies will go to rack and ruin. And this is going to be a major problem for Russia as long as this war goes on. And as we've discussed before, there is no end in sight for this war. So the risk of mobilization will hang over everybody's heads until we get a conclusion. So this could potentially have a bigger impact on the Russian economy than all of the sanctions combined. Because if Russia doesn't have a workforce that's willing to turn up and put in a shift, then it's absolutely finished. So it's a major, major problem for Russia. And in order to solve this problem, what Russia will need to do is turn to its female workforce, because they're not being forcibly conscripted to go and fight in Ukraine. But I think that's going to represent a major challenge for Russia and isn't something that they'll be able to affect overnight.
Руководству нашего города, региона, кто имеет эту возможность решать такие вопросы. В стране объявлена мобилизация. Вот мы парни с Омской области, с самого Омска. Нас всех подняли по тревоге, можно сказать. Мы оставили свои семьи дома. У кого-то дети, жены в декрете. У нас такой вопрос. Первое, это будут ли выплаты мобилизованным единовременно? В качестве материальной поддержки, потому что семьи наши очень в этом нуждаются. Кормильцы, грубо говоря, ушли. Завтра в любое время мы можем улететь уже туда, там уже не знаем, что с нами будет. Это первый вопрос, потому что мы знаем, что с других регионов ребятам выплачиваются, все стабильно. Приезжают, поддерживают их главы, там Хакасия, там я знаю, приезжали. Это первый вопрос. Это первый вопрос, то есть это самый важный вопрос. Второй вопрос — это по поводу неурегулированно, да, я знаю, я не один такой. У всех кредиты, ипотеки и так далее. То есть я позвонил в банк, мне сказали, что я должен предоставить, прийти в банк, явиться и написать заявление, либо жена по доверенности. У меня не было на это времени, мне повестка пришла вечером, а с утра я уже должен был явиться в военкомат. То есть этот вопрос тоже должен быть урегулирован. И должны быть предоставлены кредитные каникулы. Хотя бы, чтобы были каникулы.
И восписание все.
Ну, это хотя бы, я, пацаны, говорю, потому что, да, вот, хотя бы проценты и ежемесячные платежи заморозить. Конечно, мы все надеемся на лучшее. Мы готовы идти, мы же здесь. Поддержите и вы нас, наши семьи.
So it's clearly evident from this video that no information at all has been provided to these guys who've received the call up. They've done what they've been asked to do. They've actually gone to this recruitment center. They're now in full army uniform. When you first look at this video, this looks like a group of soldiers. But actually, when you hear what they've got to say, you can see that all of these people are just reacting to a call-up that they've received from Russia. They've now got the uniforms on, but they're not soldiers. And it's incredible to think that Russia haven't fleshed out any of the details. Nobody has been provided with information as to what they're going to be paid for the duration of this mobilization. They've got no idea how long it's going to last. They don't know how they're going to be able to keep their families fed, how they're going to be able to pay their interest on their mortgages, whether or not there's a special scheme in place. You would have to think that the way to do this properly would be that anybody that's being called up in terms of this mobilization, all of their mortgage payments should be paid directly by the state, because they're being extracted from their jobs and being forced to go and fight in a war. Now, clearly the companies that these people are working for don't have schemes in place because it's been put together at such short notice. In the normal course of events, if a reservist was called up, there would be a scheme in place that would say exactly what happens for the duration of that call-up. So usually the government would fund the company that the person works for, and that person would then continue to receive their salary on a monthly basis. But none of the details seem to have been worked out here. And this shows that Russia hasn't really thought through this mobilization. President Putin has simply said, I need more men, get me another 300,000 people, without actually working through how the economics are going to fit together, who's going to fund all of these payments, what happens if these people die in service. Because normally when a soldier dies in battle, there will be a compensation scheme that's been put in place where the family will receive a lump sum and then probably ongoing pension payments. These guys have been told to turn up. They don't know any of the terms and conditions that they're operating under. The way it sounds from the tone of this video, these people have not been offered any sort of remuneration, and they've no idea if they die in battle, whether there would be any compensation payable to their families. And this is obviously causing a lot of stress and concern amongst these individuals. And you saw in the video that it was mentioned that some of the people actually have wives who are on maternity. So that means that these individuals' partners are either pregnant right now, or they've just had a child. So obviously there's no good time to go to war, but going to war when you've got a very young family at home is an absolute disaster. So this really puts into perspective the reality of this mobilization. As the guy said in the video, he didn't even have time to write a letter to his mortgage company to be able to ask for a deferment on the interest payments because he had to turn up the next morning. So people are literally being ripped out of their daily lives to be forced to go to Ukraine without even being told what they're going to be paid and what happens if they get injured or if they die in battle. So this, you can see, is a complete nightmare for everybody. And you can see why so many Russians are now deciding that rather than waiting to be in this position and working out the details after they've already been sent to Ukraine, they're deciding to make a break for the border, to leave Russia, and to not get caught up in this whole complete nightmare. So the mobilization announcement from President Putin has led to a mass exodus of people from Russia. However, the number of people leaving Russia pales into insignificance when you look at the number of people who have left Ukraine over the last 7 months or so. And in terms of the economic impact of this, both on Ukraine but also onto Europe, I thought it was worth looking at the numbers and seeing where people have gone and what the estimated cost is for all of the countries who are absorbing all these refugees. This map is based on United Nations data, which tracks the number of individuals who have left Ukraine since the start of the invasion by Russia. And as of day 225 of this conflict, it's estimated that 13.7 million people have left Ukraine. So let's have a look at which destinations have been the most popular. The country that's received the largest number of refugees is Poland, with over 6.6 million registered so far. Now, there are a number of reasons why Poland is proving to be the most popular destination for Ukrainians. Firstly, it has a large land border with Ukraine, so that makes it relatively easy to travel and cross the border either by car or by rail. The only two countries that have bigger land borders are Russia, which obviously represents its own issues, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and Belarus, which is a strong ally of Russia and therefore is essentially the same thing as crossing back into Russia. Secondly, Poland is in the west of the country and therefore is furthest away from all of the areas where the fighting is taking place. And this makes crossing the border in Poland attractive because you're a long way from any potential missile strikes. But one of the biggest factors as to why Poland is the most popular destination is that it's a member of the European Union. And by crossing into Poland, refugees then have the opportunity of making further progress into the rest of Europe. And if we look at this map of Europe, you can see that Poland offers the opportunity to travel onto the Czech Republic, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Italy, Switzerland, Spain, and Portugal. So by crossing into Poland, people have a lot more options in terms of where their final destination is. And not all of the 6.6 million people who've crossed the border into Poland will stay in Poland. They will be moving all across Europe. Now, remarkably, the country with the second largest number of refugees from Ukraine is Russia. And it's estimated that almost 2.9 million people have left Ukraine to enter Russia. Now, given the circumstances of what's going on right now, it does seem very surprising that 2.9 million people are happy to move into Russia. However, historically, on the border regions, there have been close relations between Russia and Ukraine, and a lot of the people who've made the move will have family in Russia and see this as being safer than staying in the war-torn areas that are actually being occupied by Russian forces. The country with the next largest number is Hungary, with over 1.5 million, and Hungary is also a member of the EU, so offers the same sort of attractions as Poland. However, it's a smaller amount of people who've moved there because the land border is significantly smaller than the border with Poland. The next most popular destination is Romania, which has a large land border with Ukraine, where around 1.25 million people have moved to. After that, it's Slovakia with 836,000. Slovakia is also in the EU. Then Moldova, which isn't currently in the EU. It's been given candidate status, so it would like to join the EU, but isn't there yet. And 644,000 people have moved to Moldova. And the last remaining country that has a land border with Ukraine is Belarus, where around 17,000 people have moved to. Now, the reason that I wanted to show you this graphic is that firstly, it shows the level of disruption that this war has caused within Ukraine. 13.7 million people fleeing out of a population of 44 million means that around 31% of all of the people in Ukraine have left the country. So this has obviously caused an enormous amount of disruption to the Ukrainian economy. And it's estimated that when you take into account all of the financial sanctions that have been applied against Russia, the impact of this war will be 8 times greater on the Ukraine economy than it will be for Russia. So this is causing an immense amount of pain in Ukraine. But it's also causing major problems throughout the rest of Europe, because these refugees need to be catered for, they need to be looked after, they need to be housed, potentially they will need some medical care. And the United Nations have estimated that the monthly cost of looking after one refugee is around $500. So looking after 13.7 million refugees represents a monthly cost to Europe of around $7 billion. And this war has been going on for more than 7 months now. So the total cost to Europe so far has been around $50 billion. And of course, this was completely unbudgeted for at the start of this year. Nobody was expecting this war to happen, and therefore none of the economies that these people have moved to were budgeting to have to look after a huge influx of refugees. But unfortunately, that's the situation we find ourselves in, and this is just making matters worse for Europe. We've already got multiple problems that have been caused as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The increase in oil prices, commodity prices, gas prices, food prices, rising inflation, rising interest rates, and now we've got additional costs of having to look after all of the refugees. So we are going into a meltdown situation in a lot of countries in Europe. And unless this war finishes at some point soon, it's only going to keep getting worse, because that monthly bill of $7 billion will keep needing to be funded by somebody. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been looking at mobilization as being something that everybody is now very concerned about in Russia. And we've seen a lot of individuals making a break to leave the country. But when you look at what the long-term impact of this policy is, it's going to be really bad news for the Russian economy, because these people aren't going on holiday. This isn't a break for a week or 2 weeks where they'll go away from their work and then they can come back and pick up where they left off. These people are going to Ukraine for potentially months, and they may never actually come back because the Russian casualty rate is quite high. And even if they do come back, there's no guarantee that they'll just simply re-enter the workforce, because they may come back injured, or they may have mental scars from actually being in a war zone, or they may decide that they just simply don't want to go back to doing what they were doing. So this is essentially a removal of hundreds of thousands of people simultaneously from the Russian workforce. And of course, this is coming at exactly the same time when all of the financial sanctions are already causing a lot of damage to these companies, because their export markets have disappeared overnight. The West no longer wants to buy Russian products, so a lot of Russian companies have seen their order books fall off a cliff over the last 7 months. So this is coming at a time when you need your best people, and President Putin is basically taking anybody he can find and making them go to Ukraine to fight this fight. So from an economic perspective, this is crazy. Right now, the Russian economy needs all of its best people performing at the top of their game. The last thing that it can afford is to start removing big swathes of the workforce. So it's been reported that so far over 200,000 people have actually been called up for the mobilization. And when you combine that figure with the estimated 700,000 people who have left the country so far, that gets you to almost 1 million people have been taken out of the workforce at the most critical point in Russia's history. And Russia just simply can't afford to be doing that, because going forward, these companies are now going to be weaker than they were before this mobilization started. And the problem that Russia has with this mobilization is that it's open-ended. Because this war has no end in sight, potentially this is an ongoing recruitment effort. This could last for the next few years if the war carries on. Every few months they will need to keep replenishing the number of people who are fighting in Ukraine. And that's going to cause long-term issues for all of that workforce. Because you may decide that you're not at risk right now and therefore you don't need to leave your job or leave the country. But the longer it goes on, the higher the chances that you might get called up. And as soon as you hear that one of your friends or family or somebody that you know has received conscription papers, that's going to cause major concern for you and make you reconsider your position. So on an ongoing basis, this is going to undermine the confidence of the workforce in Russia. People will be nervous about the fact that they could just get taken out of their job and sent over into a war. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that hanging over their heads. So although we've seen a massive surge in demand for people wanting to leave the country, I think it's likely that that demand will continue, because the longer this goes on, people can plan their escape better. They can start thinking about what their options are, whether or not they'll be able to get some employment somewhere else, if they've got relatives or friends overseas, whether or not they can arrange to actually get there. And just on that issue of planning your escape, I'll share with you a quick story about two Russians who actually got into a boat and turned up at a small island in Alaska and have now asked for asylum in the USA. So they were so concerned about getting called up that they were prepared to risk their lives in Arctic waters to try to get out of the country. And I think as time goes on, there'll be more stories like that coming out, because people simply won't want to go to Ukraine and fight. And some of the images that I've seen of the people who've been sent into battle, they're not prepared. There's people turning up without military equipment, obviously without any training, looking to surrender to the Ukrainian forces. So I don't actually think that it's achieving its objective of strengthening Russia's military presence in Ukraine. Because if you're sending people who aren't soldiers, who aren't trained, who don't have the right equipment, then clearly that's just a waste of time for everybody. So the economic impact of this mobilization could be one of the biggest unforeseen problems that Russia encounters over the next 12 months as they continue to lose more people from the workforce. And from Ukraine's perspective, obviously their issue is not self-inflicted. All their problems are caused by Russia's invasion. But the loss of over 13.7 million people is going to absolutely devastate the Ukrainian economy. Even if this war finished tomorrow, it would take a long time to rebuild. Obviously, there's the physical damage of all of the warfare, but then there's the psychological damage of how do you get all of those people to return to Ukraine. Most of those people will want to wait until it is absolutely certain that there's no future chance of any war recurring. And that could be a long time in the future. So Ukraine potentially could find that it loses all of these people on a permanent basis. They may never come back. So you go from a population of 44 million to 30 million overnight. That changes your economy instantly, because you've got less of a home market. You've got less people to produce things, to manufacture things. So just in terms of numbers, it's a devastating blow. But in terms of loss of business, obviously a lot of Ukrainian businesses have had to close down or reduce the amount of their output. And so the world markets will be looking for new suppliers. So they're losing their business on a daily basis. So even if all the people did come back tomorrow, you wouldn't be able to go back to full productivity instantly, because you've lost some of those sales. It's very difficult to replace that. And of course, we're also on the verge of a global recession. So even if Russia did pull out tomorrow, that recession would hurt the Ukrainian economy alongside all the other economies. So overall, this war has been an absolute disaster for Ukraine so far. And unfortunately, it hasn't finished yet. It could go on for a lot longer and cause more long-lasting damage. So hopefully you found today's episode interesting, useful, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.